Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR. Today we got a fun one.
I've already got sweaty hands on this one.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. Today we're joined with Dan Clifton and Nathan Frazier of Top Right Corner, the creators of now Flock of the Low God. We originally talked with them back from their game Atlas Mystery, one of the best narrative games.
Yeah,
a home run, a game that we still feel should be on the official MetaQuest store.
100%.
So I was already hyped when they said that they were working on a new game. And then it comes out to be Flock of the Low God, man, if you're a fan of horror games or scary games, this game is going to be a hit for you. They've crushed it. But before I get too carried away, in case any of our listeners haven't, you know, heard any of our past interviews with you two, do you mind to introduce yourself for the listeners, Dan and Nathan? Tell them a little bit more about what you do over at Top Right Corner and Flock of the Low God specifically.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Dan Clifton. I'm one of the co-owners of Top Right Corner, and we make a bunch of different things. So we make original games. We're pretty much primarily a VR and AR company. So we make original VR games, but we also make original education and training materials in the XR VR space.
Yeah, and I'm Nathan Frazier. I'm the lead developer, and I make sure everything works.
It's a good way to put it. Definitely keeps things on the rails for sure. And also with Flock of the Low God, Flock of the Low God is an original narrative horror game that is based on the feature film Malum, which I produced and released through my other company, Welcome Villain, in May of last year.
And if the movie is anything as scary as the game, you know, I think
I'm going to bet the game is scarier. Because you can watch a movie, you don't have to live it.
And what was the reception to the movie like? I'm not huge into, you know, horror films and stuff like that, so it's not some, as you can tell by my fear while I'm playing Flock of the Low God. But what was the reception like to Malum?
It was good. I think so. Malum is a remake, technically a remake of a movie called Last Shift that came out in 2014. Many people, including Nathan, will probably say, why are you remaking the movie that came out less than 10 years ago? But we brought back the original producing team and the original director to kind of give him a little bit more money to sort of make a larger movie than he did back then, which has happened a few times in the past. And people, horror fans really dug Malum. Malum is it is similar in tone to the game. It's a very brutal horror movie that has a ton of gore and is silly in places, but really goes for it in other places. It made, you know, some top 10 horror lists of the year. And my company, Welcome Villain, we actually distributed the film in around 300 theaters. And so it actually got a sort of a decent release, and it's available on streaming and it's available on Blu-ray, because physical media is actually back. People are buying Blu-rays again, because if you own a Blu-ray, your favorite streaming service can't just make your movie disappear forever. So people are sort of coming back to actually buying things on physical media again, which is kind of funny.
And same thing with vinyl. Mm-hmm. I think vinyl sales last year outsold CD sales for the first time in many years. Eventually it all, but it makes sense. Sometimes you want to own the physical copy, and we all have been burned with our favorite, you know, TV shows or movies that, well, you know, they're moving over to this platform now. And if you're not a member, you're just not seeing it. I think I'm going to have to watch this movie, though.
Yeah. Happens to me and my girlfriend all the time. We'll be like scrolling through what's available on Amazon Prime. We'll be like, oh, let's mark that to watch next week. And the next week we go and it's no longer free, or It'll say unavailable. It's like, what the hell happened? So I agree. Physical media is the best.
So I want to jump to the movie real quick before we get into Flockmore. How many do you know how many jump scares are in the movie?
I'm
assuming
know.
Some.
Yeah, a decent amount. and I do come from a background of making horror movies. There's a decent amount of jump scares in Malum. Obviously, jump scares are subjective, which is kind of, you know, fun when you're making a movie. What works in a movie might not work in a game. There are certain jump scares that are based on aspects of the movie that we brought directly into the game. But yeah, I'd maybe argue that there's more in the game and they might be more effective because you're in a 360 environment where you can't leave.
I will firsthand attest to the fact that the jump scares in VR are far more impacting than jump scares. Again, I watch a movie. I know I'm watching my TV. At the end of the day, I can mentally talk myself back from being scared. But like last night, I found myself, and you didn't help the cause any by freaking out on your end, but I ended up backing myself into a corner and was just refusing to move. I'm like, if I don't move, I don't have to experience anything. And I'm genuinely had the fear in me. So I'm like, we'll resume this again tomorrow.
But you know,
you crushed it with, dude, I'm not going to lie. I, for me personally, I'd say within the first 10 minutes, there was like 5 jump scares. Some of them, there weren't even jump scares. It was just the unknown of something that I had to do. And with the music, which I want to give whoever did the music score absolute home run credit, because I've been saying this is like the perfect combination of story, living the horror movie, and then the actual the sound score that puts it all together. So it's just this ball of horror. It really scared the shit out of me.
That's awesome. I'll give a shout out. The composer's name is Samuel LaFlemme, and he actually did the score for the film. And then we brought it over for the game, and Nathan and I sort of cherry picked what we thought would be the best tracks actually from the film to appear at what stage and to give this progression, which is harder in a game because you don't know exactly where people will be. When you're obviously looping different tracks and you're mixing things together and having things start at different places. Sam crushed it and knocked it out of the park. So that's a huge production value we were able to bring over.
Wow. You can see the whole movie level production in the film and the narrative aspects of it. And something I'll give a lot of props for, because I can only imagine it's a challenge, is for somebody like myself or my dad over here who's never watched the film, it didn't feel like I was missing.
I didn't feel like I missed out anything
on lore or anything like that, you know? So for somebody that's never watched the film, I wasn't lost like you might be in other games that are based off of IPs and stuff like that. So what was it like balancing that of, you know, you want to make it special for people that have seen the film, but you also don't want to throw off any new user that's never seen the film either?
Yeah, I mean, I have, just to go back, I mean, we got into making VR products because I was making a movie called Belko, and we made Belko VR. So kind of going back to that sort of inception moment of getting into making games, you know, it's always a balance because we made this as a small game, partnered with a small movie studio that I'm also a part of. It's very indie. Everything is super indie. So, you know, you look at all this stuff of like, you know, Warner Brothers Discovery, all these huge companies trying to release these tie-in games. And sometimes they feel really half-assed, or they feel kind of just like a cash grab or whatever else. This movie like has a very small but very passionate group of fans. And so I think for us, it was just about making something that felt natural to the movie and had the same tone. And so in terms of bringing people into it who knew nothing about it, we had to really strike that balance. And I think the best way to strike the balance is just to make something scary that unravels the narrative slightly more over time and just allows you to kind of get into it. But you're doing things that are physical. You're doing things like, you know, secure the station, find this. You're not really doing things that really mean that you have to understand more of the lore. And that kind of comes through over time. But it was very like practical things that you have to do just to survive in the game.
From a development standpoint, because we're marrying, like you said, the you know, best parts of the sounds of the movie, obviously with the touch of the movie, but from the, for Nathan, like, what were the challenges of trying to not go too much to the version of the movie, but still, I mean, you're working in a VR environment and you're developing essentially a horror movie in VR.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, if you are really into horror, stuff like this is obviously great to work on. We definitely had some people that were working on this that were less like horror people. And so when we're like, hey, can you like test the game for us? And they're like, oh, do I have to? Like, like, and for everyone, you know, it's like, it is a fun experience. I mean, for me, I love horror, so it was totally cool, but it is funny when you're telling, you know, your art team to make some bloody characters and to make all this stuff. And it's like, it's definitely interesting from that, side of it. From like the connections to the movie, I mean, you know, the whole product kind of started, and while the movie was still being made, so like before the movie was even out, but while it was still being made, Dan was like, you know, let's make something VR that goes with this movie. And kind of the original version of this game was like completely different. I mean, we were going like for, you know, something very different, very, more action based, less story based and stuff. And we worked on that for a long time and kind of, you know, soft released it and stuff. And, you know, we were like, hey, this, you know, just doesn't fit up to our standards, you know? And Dan came to me and he was like, you know, what can we do to make this good? And I told him, we're going to have to completely remake it. You know, we're going to have to do a full pivot to something, you know, more story based, more linear. And we did, you know, we took the time to just completely redo everything, kind of start from scratch using some like mechanics that we made, to make something that's fun and focuses on being scary more than anything. And then also like, you know, I, you know, was working on this and was making the scene and making all that stuff before seeing the movie. But after I saw the movie, the game became a lot more fun for me because I was like, oh, I remember this hallway. I remember this thing. And so then it was like, okay, you know, as we were kind of bouncing ideas off each other and stuff, I definitely tried to make sure that I was like, we got to include tapes from the movie, you know, like let's include some scenes from the movie that tie you in. Because there is something cool about seeing like a live action scene, you know, in a VHS tape and stuff. And then it's like, oh, I can recognize that character. Or I can recognize that place. And it is something very fun about that.
Yeah, I was curious if those, I won't talk about the specifics of them, but if those were clips from the movie that you were viewing on the television.
Yeah, I mean, we basically use that as a bit of the backbone to kind of go back to Nathan's point. And we'll be really open and candid about this. Our first version of this really sucked. Like our first version, and it's a little bit, maybe it's a little bit unfair, but I think we made it in a way, and I take, you know, responsibility for this, is that we were chasing a medium rather than a true game narrative. And I think we were trying to get something to fit into combat-based horror multiplayer. And we made this game that sort of fit into this Venn diagram that a few different platforms are really clamoring for. And so we sort of made it to fit into this box of, oh, we could do multiplayer. Spent a lot of time figuring that out. That's very difficult in VR to get right. We spent a lot of time on characters that had physics that we relied too much on that were never going to work properly without hiring a full-time animator who had that experience that we couldn't afford. And the game just wasn't scary enough. And so our first version sort of was like the worst of all those worlds because we tried to make it many things instead of one thing. And so Nathan's right. Like we kind of, after we put out that first early access version, we were basically saying, how can we just get back to basics, make something that's truly scary And the way that we're going to do that, like what do we have? What are the assets that we have? Well, we have this movie and we've already built this police station that looks, that has all these design elements and is copied off of the movie. Let's just go with the backbone that these tapes and these segments and these vignettes have for a narrative structure. We're not telling the exact same narrative as in the movie, but we're telling a narrative that's very adjacent to the tone of the movie. And so we really just got back to basics and tried to make something that was scary and atmospheric. And sometimes less is more. You strip everything down and it's like, how do you just do something like that? And then you can build on top of it.
I love the, to not have the ego enough to know that if a reset is needed, then that's what you do versus other people who would be hell bent on, it was my idea, my vision. I don't care what you think. And that's probably the difference between good and great as well. But thus far, I didn't try the other to know how bad it might have been, which might just be developer opinion more than consumer opinion, because I've seen that happen as well. But
it was consumer opinion.
Fair enough. But what I'm experiencing with Flock of the Logot is it's fucking next level. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm an adult. I mean, I was frightened. I didn't want to move anymore. Mm-hmm. I was scared. And I don't even know if I can die, like, per se, where I was at. But I felt like
you could.
Bad. The music was certainly encouraged. And even the theme, I don't know what to call it, a little jingle, or the young lady singing the little cult song, I'll say. Holy crap. You know you're going to get scared shitless. I want to own a copy of that music too, because it's just frightening as hell.
And the jump scares are very well timed, which, like, you know, it's right when you would hope to. And from a development standpoint, how do you figure out that here's where we should add something that pops out and scares you? Is that something like you run through the map with nothing and you go, well, wouldn't it be crazy if something popped out there? Or do you kind of design the map around the jump scare already in mind? What's that process like?
Funnily enough, kind of designed the map first, which, you know, whether that was a good idea or not, you know, it's still to be seen. And there's also sections of the map that we've made, like, fully designed and built out that you never even see in this version of it. And we're kind of, you know, keeping as like, okay, that, you know, these are some good parts that we could expand it to in the future and stuff. Because it wasn't meant, you know, originally was meant to be more open and you could go around the whole station at any point. And then, you know, when we linear'd it down, there were certain parts of the station that there just wasn't a good enough reason to make you go there yet. So we're like, you know, okay, let's, you know, instead of it just being some empty place that has no meaning, let's just kind of, you know, not let the player go there for now. And use that more effectively in the future. And we built a map, and then it was kind of like, how do we, you know, get the player to go where we want them to go in a way that still makes them feel like they have choices of where to go? So we don't want, you know, to like lock every single door and be like, okay, this is the only door you can go through. You know, don't even try to touch anything else. We want it to feel like you're making those choices, and then also kind of punish you with scares if you go down some places that you're like, you know, there might not be a reason to go here, but if you choose to kind of go off the beaten path a little bit, we're going to scare you because of it. I think that's kind of what we meant to do. And where we put the jump scares were a lot of, you know, places where, again, we kind of wanted the player to go, or we punished the player for going. And we also tried to make sure we didn't limit player movement too much, because we kind of did that originally in some of the first version of some of the jump scares. We'd be like, okay, let's lock the player in place, kind of play this almost cutscene-esque scare, and then let the player move again. And, you know, right away through testing, we're like, okay, let's not do that. Let's not lock the player's movement for these cutscene things. Let's make sure that we can make the scares work while giving the player freedom of movement.
Yeah.
I'm not moving.
Well, just to add to that too, right? So I think from the background of making movies, because there is a scare in this that happens, you know, depends on how far the player gets, but usually around, you know, 8 to 10 minutes into the game. And it is a bit similar to when we made movies. It was a thing where you got to get people early because these things, jump scares are always subjective. There's certain things that might land. It's a combination of timing, sound, just how people are feeling. There's certain things that might land for 90% of the audience. But then after you've landed a big scare, then you want to fill in with atmospheric and everything else, because then there's things that actually aren't jump scares, but maybe they're the outline of a shadow. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it's sound. It basically, the human mind fills in those things afterwards. And so you can't have these big jump scare moments every 5 seconds, because actually you get kind of dazed to it, but actually your mind, or used to it rather, but your mind fills in gaps as you're moving throughout of things that might be scary, but it's just a pipe or it's just an aspect of the station. And so that's a bit of a trick from carried over, I think, from making movies, is that once you get someone once and you have stuff that might happen, then their mind does fill in the rest.
I know the particular incident you're referring to, I believe at that about 8 minute mark. And I knew, just based on everything happening, I'm like, something's going to go down. And every instinct in me is telling me how it's going to go down. And it goes down the exact way my brain said it.
You're the character in the movie when you
and
watch.
And I still fucking yelled out a little scream when it happened. And I knew it was going to happen. You know, but you're right. I'm scared when I touch a door. And I won't say what I'm doing, but if I'm touching a door and I got to open it and it opens, I'm like, shit. I don't know what's on the other side of the door.
The guy in the on the radio tells you too, like, don't wander to places you don't shouldn't go too. They kind of warn you, like, you're gonna get scared if you go.
But dude, you don't know. You're scared. You gotta go places.
You know how when you're watching a movie and a character's about to do something bad and they have their music playing, you're like, don't do that. Why are you doing that?
You are that.
Yeah. Yes. It's like, why are you turning around? Why are you going in there? Like, you are that character screwing up in a movie.
Summer camp. Yeah.
That's why it makes it it's special in VR. I think it's way more scary because it's almost like being in a unscripted movie.
Yeah, dude. I didn't feel like I was in control. The situation's getting very, very grim for me. You know?
And that's really high praise. Really appreciate that.
No, that's 100%, man. I legit, if you could have hooked me up to a monitor, you would have saw shit spiking. And it was just building. And a lot of it was, you know, being induced into me through the sound. And even, man, when you're running, let's say you're running down a hall and your character's a little out of breath, even the breathing sounds are somewhat frightening. Like, I don't want to hear this. It's phenomenal.
And although the reception might not have been the best with the initial version, what's it been like with the version that, example, we've been playing, the current edition?
It's been really good so far. So we literally got it out in the past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. A big part of this was even doing a lot of the optimization to have it play on Quest, which was a big challenge with all the different things we have in the game and like the lighting and everything. I mean, that was almost its own other chapter of making this work. But yeah, I mean, people who have played it and horror fans and also just other casual VR players, I mean, there's been great playthroughs and people really have enjoyed it so far. I mean, we just want to get it out to as many people as possible, because once people do play it, there's a bit of a bad taste, I think, from the first version that just was not scary and did not work well. But I think once we've been able to kind of market it, which we've done through side quests quite a bit and in other ways, the reception's been really good.
I think this is probably right now is my sleeper horror game of the year.
Again, for fans of the genre,
I have never been scared that much playing a game.
You keep saying ever. I love your saying the way you're putting it. I won't be defeated by ones and zeros.
Yeah, that was my take. I'm like, there's no way in hell ones and zeros are beating me out. I have to finish it.
Tell that to your brain. In full VR, you're
like
dancing.
Your brain fills in the blanks. And we've all watched enough horror to know, like, we're trained. We know bad shit's going to happen.
Well, all of your senses are going off. It's insane. Dude,
I was so scared.
Yeah.
holding my gun, just standing in that corner like, no, if I don't move, I don't have to see shit. I don't have to hear shit.
That's funny.
And how long is the game, you know, go for playtime-wise in its current iteration? Obviously, it's not done yet. Like you said, it's an early access. Maybe you add a lot more areas or whatever, but from start to finish and what's available now?
I would say from start to finish, it's ironically, it's almost like an hour and a half. Like you can speed run it a lot faster, but I think the current version, if you didn't watch playthroughs, if you went into it cold, it's probably about an hour 15 to an hour and a half. So it's almost like you're watching a horror movie, which I didn't really think about until right now. But it's almost as though you're in your own choose your own adventure horror movie kind of situation. And yeah, there's certain things, there's puzzle aspects, there's certain sort of tasks, and I would say many missions or many things to accomplish that you have to do along the way. Some people might take longer, but I think that's a pretty fair estimate.
Well, I'm not running either, so no. I know I'm dragging ass. But I like the balance of time being pretty similar to a, because to me, I feel like I'm living the horror experience. I'm not, you know, this isn't something that has to go on for 12 hours here.
You know? Well, again,
it does not.
It's an early access. Do you have like a, I guess, vision for how big you would like to see it get? Is that about the runtime you want to keep it at? Or do you have a bigger vision?
I think ideally we have this version right now, and there's so many things that go into like the optimization and some other stuff that I'll get to. But yeah, ideally we probably have it be around 3 hours, a little bit more, because there's some flashbacks, there's some other things we can do. The main character has a father who was also a police officer. And there's some lore behind that. And so I think you could easily do flashbacks to some other encounters with the cult, some of the cult's origins. So there's lots of things that you could bounce around to that are scary, but also could be more action-based or more shooting-based or more, there's different levels or set pieces. Like we kind of looked at it almost like a film of like, what are the set pieces that we have? What are the chapters of set pieces and how can they be different so that you're taking advantage of different sort of different versions of what horror VR can be. So it's not just a wave shooter or not just it's not just one aspect of it.
So off the wall question, perfect world scenario game is, you know, everyone freaking loves to be scared to death. They're all over it. Is there a possibility of branch offs of it based on characters that potentially like the father or maybe you as a child or something that could be a different separate game but still tie into the Flock of the Low Gods?
I'd probably just release it as a DLC, or I'd release it as sort of a separate narrative as part of the full game. Almost like you would play through this version, flashback to a previous version, and then have that be sort of like the middle act. I keep using these film and story metaphors just because that's how we look at things like that. But I sort of feel like this early access is almost the first act. And I don't want to say the first act or the first thing is of a trilogy. And I don't want to say that to dissuade people to say, oh, well, I don't want to try it because it's not complete. I think we priced it in a way where it's a pretty low entry kind of get into this. But yeah, I think ideally, so there's this version, which has a bit of a cliffhanger, and then you would flash back to some other stuff.
I believe it's $9.99.
Correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheaper than a movie. Mm-hmm.
And it is on Quest and PC VR in early access as well. So all VR fans and those.
Did you take the early access right off of it? It's a good friggin' experience.
How similar are the Quest and PC VR versions?
Well, Nathan, I think you can address that.
So, I mean, yeah, getting it. So we built out the PC version first, right? So we definitely went into it where kind of the opposite is what we did with Atlas, where with Atlas, we're definitely like, okay, let's make the Quest version first and then kind of improve some visuals for the PC. Where this one, we kind of went the other route where we built out the PC version first, made that look as good as we could, and then dialed some stuff back for the Quest. And I mean, it was painful. I mean, to get the whole station and all of the characters, and plus you have like the video clips and all these other effects that we had. There definitely is some, which we tried to make sure that the station, everything looks really, really good, both on Quest or PC. We definitely put a lot of work into making sure that in some cases we had to build entirely new systems for the Quest version that, you know, look the same, but on the back end, it's completely different because, you know, for optimization reasons, because we definitely wanted it to still be a super fun experience and still look really good on the Quest. However, with all that said, for the best looking version, obviously the PC just has more power, and we definitely, because we built out that version first, there is going to be visual improvements and visual effects that we either dialed back or had to take away on the Quest version. So, you know, if you are looking for, you know, all of the visual effects, all of the decals everywhere, all of the, you know, bullet effects and all that stuff, and you want more blood in your game, then the PC version definitely has that.
I think with, you know, you could also play off of, obviously, you know, Quest Link, or you could play off of, you can play on a Quest 2, but obviously tethered to a computer. Just the real-time lighting and a lot of the other aspects that are on the PC VR version, it definitely looks better. And I think in terms of early access, whereas I do stand behind the narrative and the mechanics of the game, the real reason early access is on is because of performance. You know, we've pushed this so far to work across Quest 2 and Quest 3. And that's why the early access sticker is on there, because there's still a thing where I can test on my Quest 2 headset. Nathan can test on his Quest 2 headset. There are other people that have a Quest 2 headset that is just slightly different, or for some reason its memory crashes out early. And so that's more of why the early access is on. It's because we're still trying to find that balance of how far we can push stuff and optimize it without it completely crashing the headset constantly for mobile.
Okay. Might be why I had no issues on the Quest 3.
Yeah. It's just more like, I haven't had any props.
More of a beast. So.
Yeah.
Have there been any bugs like that on the Quest 3? Has it all been pretty much Quest 2 related?
Really just Quest 2. Quest Pro and Quest 3, anecdotally, because it's still a small sample size, but those headsets have performed really well. Whereas Quest 2, which, you know, is the majority, it's tough because you're making something on an indie budget where it has to work on mobile for Quest 2. But you hope that people will play it on Quest 3. But you also hope that people will play it on PC VR. So
yeah,
it's sort of a balance.
Well, and you got to hit all those markets nowadays too. You leave one out, it's just going to be a, you know, lack of sales for one of the platforms.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm sure you're tempted. You want to push it as far as you can. We're like, oh, if we can make it just run on the Quest 3 only, that's fine. But unfortunately, like you said, there's still so many
Quest 2s.
Yeah, such a big user base. They've been selling like hotcakes as well too, since the price went down on them to like $250. It's a hard bargain to beat. So a lot of Quest 2s floating around there for sure. And you had mentioned multiplayer at one point being something that didn't work at the time.
That would have changed my fear a little.
Is that something that you have plans to revisit, or is it just not something that you feel works in this style of game?
I don't think it works in the narrative style. I think what the original version was more of a wave shooter, survive 12 minutes against. Yeah, the original version was single player or multiplayer, survive for 12 minutes. Each minute is sort of an hour of your shift, and you have to survive in this more open world of the station. And so just the format of that, and there was more survival things. It was more of like you could board up a door, you could try and get away from the flock, you could find random ammunition and weapons. There was more melee combat. It was just a much different thing. But once we got away from all of that and kind of using the old adage of don't see the shark kind of thing, once we got away from how can we avoid seeing characters that are animated, how can we avoid doing melee combat, how can we just get away from the things that we couldn't do well, including multiplayer, or just due to our standard is probably a better description. It kind of locked into that single player version because we were just optimizing gameplay and performance for that. So I think the expansion is probably just to kind of go into, is to optimize this, but to go into further worlds. We did this, do some motion capture recently. So there's motion capture that we've done that is not in this version of the game. But we did some experimental motion capture, I guess around the holidays, and we've kind of cleaned it up a little bit. And so we might have some better animations and some other stuff that we're going to add soon that makes the flock a little bit more intelligent and therefore, I think, more scary. So because they're not zombies, they're actually, you know, they just adding a few more animations and a few more things will give them more impetus. But yeah, I think multiplayer is just, I don't know, Nathan, if you have any thoughts on that, but I think multiplayer is just tough in this version of the game.
Yeah, I mean, this current version relies so heavily on like where you are, right? That, you know, either if we have two players or more, I mean, the original version was going to be up to four players. And it's like, you know, either you're going to be missing out on a bunch of scares because one person's going to experience it, you're not going to experience it. Or, you know, like, you know, how do you make it where the person's radio into both of you at the same time and, you know, the whole responding thing. So you have this version of it, definitely, which was a tough choice to make, you know, because we built out the multiplayer. The multiplayer worked and we had voice chat where you could, you know, talk. And it was like, you know, local based, or the farther away you were, you couldn't hear each other anymore. And we had all this kind of system that was going to make it fun to explore the station together. But we had to make the tough choice of being like, okay, with this new narrative that we want to go down, we can't bring multiplayer over. You know, it just won't really work. And so we did make the tough choice to drop that. But I think for this type of experience, we definitely had to. I think if we tried to like keep it in, it would have made both of them worse, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I can't, as much as I'd love to have a companion to ease the fear.
Like you said, that would ease the fear, maybe a little too much.
For this experience, I'm not upset about having I'd love to see somebody eventually come out with a true co-op, scare the shit out of two people.
It's just hard to scare both at the same time, I feel like it's a totally different experience. I'm a co-op lover too, but I feel like
what I'm saying. Imagine if you're okay, you and I are playing a horror game together and you're still jump scaring.
Yeah. I just feel like you start to naturally walk more of like an action line. Like you said, wave shooter is kind of the direction that it ended up in before. I feel like that's just naturally what happens when you go co-op. Whereas if the goal is to scare people, Nothing better than getting them alone.
I'd put faith in Mr. Clifton to co-op scare the shit out of two people at the same time.
Let's see. Maybe it can be done. But I think it can be done. I think in its current version, though, it's sharp.
For this, I'm not saying add co-op to this. I'm the soul.
I think just riffing on the idea. I think to do that, you'd almost need. I keep thinking of like it's like the game Battleship. Or the game, you know, almost like a prisoner's dilemma, right? Where you have two people that can't quite see what the other one's doing. I think that to have multiplayer where you're both together side by side, I think that's really tough, not only with current VR infrastructure, you know, latency, lag, other stuff, you know, which has gotten better. I mean, walkabout mini golf is a lot of fun. There's a lot of stuff that's there, but just the timing of that is so tough. But I think if you had a multiplayer where people were, just imagine that the information they were seeing, like they weren't completely blinded to each other, but they were sort of bottlenecked so that they weren't getting all the information. I think that's the way to do multiplayer horror, because just having two people side by side, I think in the same space and time is difficult.
I think a great example of that, if you've never checked it out or any of the listeners, that I highly recommend is the first level. And it's kind of playful graphics and stuff like that. It's not a horror game by any means. It's a game called Rooms of Reality that's just a bunch of escape rooms. You do it up to 4-person co-op. But the first level, you load in and it's like kind of Saw themed almost.
Nice.
One person starts and they're handcuffed to a wall in one room, and the other person's free walking around in another room. And the person that's free walking around can see the handcuffed person off of
CCTV.
Like a security cam. So you only have that level of visually seeing each other. It's only like that in the first level. It's a great game concept, pretty much exactly what you're describing, of a little bit of insight with each other, but not directly being able to work side by side. I think if that whole game concept was done like that first level and scary, I agree. I think you need that disconnected element, because the second I see your player character next to me, for whatever reason, because I know it's a real player, I'm less likely to be spooked versus this one. Like you said, throw yourself against the wall. I'm sitting there quitting. I'm like, I'm out. I'm done with it. So, yeah. No, you guys did a great job with it. And currently in early access, like we said, you know, more work to do, but in your words, mainly for performance reasons on the Quest 2, is there a time that you would like to see the game fully released by? You know, we need it by this date, or is it just kind of loose and when it's ready, it's ready?
Well, I think, yeah, to be candid, now that we've put this out, I just want as many people as possible to play it and for it to gross as much money so that we can justify adding more stuff to it and continuing. So I don't really have a time frame. We are pushing small updates here and there. Like, I think even with Atlas too, like, because we're taking Atlas to Pico very soon. And in doing that, Pico made us do localization with different language support, which was a huge pain. I say that because it's a huge pain for Nathan. So it's easy for me to say that, but it's been a huge pain because if you recall in Atlas, there's about 1,000 written clues that have to be translated into Japanese now. And that whole system was complicated. But my point is, we're continuing to make updates on Atlas as well. And of course, the updates for Pico are now going to be across Quest as well. So suddenly we're going to have 7 language support on Quest. We're going to have it on Steam. We might install a simple hint system on Atlas as we have. We kind of messed around with a bit of a hint system on this game as well. And so I think for both of those games, we're going to continue pushing updates and continuing pushing things. But yeah, I would need to get a significant, other publishing or other sort of arrangement to then install other aspects of Flock. But we do have plans to do it. But I think right now we're in that just get as many users as possible and get as many people to play it as possible stage.
That's great to hear that Atlas Mystery isn't dead either.
No.
That was a great one. And as there's still no word on official store or anything. It's kind of silent on the meta end for that, because that one still boggles my mind as a game that should be on the official store.
Yeah, no communication or just nothing on that end. They've never reached out and said, even if they reached out and said, hey, you need, if you did voiceover for the actors, right? Do voiceover for the clues. Do a hint system and have it be in these 6 languages, and it was sort of an ipso facto you get on the main store, you know, we could actually say, all right, that'll cost X amount of time and money, and we could go do that. But no, we've never heard anything to that regard. And, you know, hopefully these changes that we're doing will allow us to even push further, get it on new platforms. But they've never reached out and said, hey, if you did X, Y, and Z, we would consider you further.
Yeah, because I'll preach it till the end of time to anybody.
It's a little sour with me.
That's a non-spooky one for anybody that's too scared of horror. I think that's another one that really shows off the the great work of Top Right Corner. It's an awesome narrative experience with puzzle elements, a lot of puzzle elements, mm-hmm. a great story to it, a lot of little hidden things to discover, a lot of interactable stuff. It's very well done, and I had such a good time with it. I feel like that, you know, there's a huge crowd that likes those type of...
It's a grave injustice is what it is, damn it.
Yeah, so I'll say to anybody, even if it's not on the official store, if you're looking for a good single player, non-scary one, go with Atlas Mystery. It's a great time. And you know what, though? We're talking about Flock of the Low God. Mm-hmm. That game is, if you like horror games, that really shows off the...
It's also got a place on the store.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, right now, dude, it's like, for real, I mean, what horror game is going to give you this feeling right now today mm-hmm. on the store? I just don't,
and
I don't see it.
Were there lessons that you learned from Atlas Mystery that carried over into the development of Flock of Logod, even though they're such vastly different genres?
Totally different.
I think developmentally, like once we made the pivot to going down this narrative direction, single player narrative, I think for me, I'll let Nathan speak on the technical side, because there's probably massive amounts of lessons. But for me, I think it's like with VR originally sort of the Nintendo adage of, you know, get a great mechanic to work, Beat Saber, lots of different games, get something to work and then build the game around that. And I think we've sort of gone into this phase two of VR now where, well, there's also been a lot of ports of like bigger games and bigger concepts over by AAA studios that I think have or haven't worked. But I do miss the fact that there aren't a lot of real like narrative games in VR. And so I think the lesson of that was, and maybe because Atlas didn't get to the main story, we should have like listened to that lesson and just focus on a mechanic. But yeah, just wanted to really double down on, we're making a really scary horror game that's going to be freaky. It's based on an insane movie that's also freaky. So it's more of just like double down on the weirdness and just make something that's like singularly specific. Like, don't try and make something that's like another game. Just make something that's really singularly specific and is really unexpected and weird. And so I think that is just what I wanted to kind of carry over. Nathan, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, I think we did so much different, definitely in the initial version, a Flock that was new, you know, multiplayer for the first time, characters for the first time. And originally we had it where, you know, because it was multiplayer, the player themselves had a full body and all that stuff, and you could see rote legs and all that. Which we ended up scrapping as well. But so all that was new. But yeah, the stuff that we really brought over from Atlas was like, how can we make dark environments that look really nice, that aren't too dark to the point where it's like, okay, I can't see what's going on, and like that's frustrating, but also dark enough to like keep the mystery. So I think, you know, you'll see a lot of that in both Atlas and Flock, of like dark hallways and lighting that is, you know, pretty cutting edge. And we're even using more cutting edge in Flock than Atlas. Mostly like, cause you know, you can always do baked lighting where it's like, you know, you bake lighting in and it looks nice and stuff, but movable objects always will kind of look, you know, less quality than the static objects. But with this game Flock, we've using some, you know, pretty cutting edge lighting technology that allows even movable objects to look really natural and to look nice in dark and light environments, without being, you know, just using real time lighting everywhere that would just destroy performance on Quest, you know, which sometimes we do kick ourselves and we're like, why didn't we just make smaller rooms so that we could use real time lighting? You know, why'd we have to put 500, you know, various objects around the station, whether it be cups, chairs, broken things, papers? We're like, why did we do that to ourselves? And it's like, why didn't we just keep it simple? But at the same time, we don't want to, you know, we want to push the graphics. We don't want to keep it just like, you know, cartoon simple, you know, simple shaded and stuff, like, you know, which there's a place for that with VR games. It's just, I think we kind of specialize more in the realistic aspects of it.
Yeah, you guys actually scare me if the technology was super duper good where mm-hmm. it could be even more realistic as far as I'm like comfortable with the graphic level for this stage in VR. But I know the day will come too where we'll be looking at like borderline cinematic experiences that you're part of. But I got no complaints.
No.
I'm curious, just looking back, we can't change anything, obviously, but what do you feel like sometimes you wish you did Flock of the Low God first and then Atlas Mystery? Where you, I mean, again, we can't change what was, but
I don't think Malum was out yet, though.
No.
Well, no, I don't think we could have done. There's so many things that are steps up in terms of characters. Like there's certain things with Atlas that we decided to do very specifically. That we wouldn't have been able to do at the time. Like we learned a lot making Atlas and making it look really good. And we learned a lot making Flock. So we would not have been able to do Flock first with what we knew at the time. And even like when we did sort of Flock part two, where we kind of went back to basics, that really, yeah, it wasn't that long. Sometimes when you throw everything out and start over again, it's not going to be the same half-life of time than just starting over again. It actually can move pretty quickly to get to our final version. So let me ask you guys a quick question. So I kind of on that note, right? So we've made these two different games with Flock. You know, I think that, you know, horror VR is its own specific market. How would you convince people, again, if people don't want to be scared, they're probably not going to check it out. But how do you think that you would convince people to play Flock? Because I think that there's also the replayability of just having a game on your headset that when you're trying to introduce people to VR, it's almost, you know, Beat Saber is a great version of just get in, you can do something, you know, right away. Or there's certain games that are really easy to throw people into. But I think we wanted to create a game where like this is the definitive scary game. And so if you want to be scared in VR, it's kind of fun to watch other people play it. You know, as like if someone's over your house or something. So what do you guys think about that concept?
Yeah, well, in order to sell it, like I said before, it's the first one that I've played that I really feel like a character in a horror movie. So it's like if you've ever wanted to be that main character in a movie, this is your one. You're going to be the one screwing up.
What did I say in Discord? If you want to be scared to death, this is your game. This is your jam. It's right here. It's waiting for you. And it isn't a market to itself because you can't convince. I'll never get my fiance. I offered her last night. She told me to fuck off. Not even going to look at it. She saw the trailer and it scared the hell out of her. She's like, there's no way. But to the horror fan, I mean, this is home run. I mean, as a horror fan, you live for the moment of like, I'd love to experience the horror.
Yeah. If you've ever wanted to be in the movie, this is it.
Different fear than watching a movie. You're living this. Mm-hmm. You're going to breathe it. I've never once watched a movie and huddled in a corner.
And
I'm an adult. I'm 50 years old. I shouldn't be cowering in corners, scared to death.
Saying your question.
Can we put that on the poster? We put that on the poster. I'm an adult. I'm 50. I shouldn't be
huddled in a corner.
It's accurate. Yeah. And like you said, like, do you want to be scared to death? I think that's a great filter because the reality is there's two types of humans. Either somebody's going to hear that statement and go, it's no, a challenge. I don't want to be scared to death. Or what a lot of horror fans are going to hear and go, yeah, I want to be scared to death. That's what they're into. You know, it's like you go, do you want to eat the spiciest wings possible? There's some people going to go, no, I just want barbecue. Other people are going to go, give me the spicy wing challenge. You know, it's a genre.
I love the idea of watching people play it, though.
Yeah.
I'd watch somebody play the first 10 minutes just for the, and I'd start giggling it.
Mm-hmm. We like watching playthroughs. We've watched, I got into this, like, I don't know, like maybe like German server or something, this German VR Discord. And there's like 15 German guys who have now played it. And it's funny because a lot of them don't actually speak you know, like they, you think about like watching Western movies or stuff. I mean, they really, really play through it, not really speaking much English and looking at it, and they were still scared. So scares are a universal language. But it's really funny just watching them do playthroughs in German and then just freak out at the same places. And I have no idea what they're saying, but they, it's, we love watching playthroughs of different people do it. And I would recommend for any developers, one of the reasons why the first version, was not very good is because, I mean, I think I was distracted. There's a lot of other things going on and we just did not test it thoroughly. And so if you, you have to test things thoroughly, and not just from a performance perspective, which we're still working on, but from a narrative and scary perspective, you just have to put people through your game and just make sure that it's enjoyable and it's a place that people want to spend time in. Even if they're scared and they don't want to be in it, it does it accomplish what you're going for? Is it fundamentally fun? And I think that when we've done that and we've got great results, it's really worked. When we've shied away from it or we're kind of saying, oh yeah, but these people don't really get it. People who really understand this or understand VR or gaming, they'll understand. That's a terrible way to look at it. You have to have people play it and you have to really listen to that. And I think we knew we had something that could be really cool when we started to put, I would say normies or just put civilians through the game. And at that moment we've been talking about, just consistently they would freak out and they would find other things around the station to freak out about too. And that's when we knew we sort of had something to work with.
I personally, I feel it's a home run. Mm-hmm. This would be one that we always joke, like if there was VR game stock, like who would you invest in? And this is one I would probably throw a coin at.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of just, you know, I'd love to see stitched videos of just people playing it for the first time. I wanted to record it, but I'm so careful about spoilers. And to me, like, I kind of set you up a little last night for some doom and gloom with it, knowing some shit was going
to
happen.
At least make it to this point.
Yeah. Type. I'm like, oh, dude, if you're going to quit, just make it to this point. I mean, this is all we got to do. And you're like, oh, yeah, 100%. I hear you scream. You're like, you're such an asshole. You knew that was going to happen. Getting all like angry about it. But yeah, I would never want to blow that, any of the scares or the.
No, but for an hour and a half, 2 hour narrative shit your pants adventure, it's well worth the $9.99.
Dude, it just, I would think if it hit the store, it would go up, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. Maybe, you know, 14, whatever, but.
Two for two with great experiences from Top Right Corner.
I want to see one of the two go on. I mean, I'd love to see Atlas go on the store. We've said it for years, but this one is like, dude, there's nothing there. You're filling, you'd be the only guy filling that void for like the horror enthusiast that mm-hmm. like really wants to feel.
I'd
scared.
Argue there's a void for the Atlas mystery style games too, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh,
for,
no. I agree.
The low god.
I put Atlas in the like, it should always be there. It should have been there. And it's, you know, I'm not on the food chain to know why or it would be.
Well, even with I Expect You to Die in games like that, I mean, I feel as though there's still not a like countless great escape room games, right? Like there's, I don't see why there wouldn't be space for it there. I think with Flock, yeah, I mean, I think we want to be a definitive horror VR game, because I feel like when I would say the golden age of early VR, 2016, 2017, by Oculus Rift, you know, it was still Oculus, Palmer Luckey was still around, you know, the good old days. You know, like there was a lot, I think horror VR was really prevalent. There was a lot of sort of early horror VR games that people really latched onto because it was effective in the medium. And then I think over the past few years, there's been some like studio tie-ins on movies that haven't really delivered or been just not exactly that. But yeah, I don't think there's been a real new definitive horror VR game that is really that scary. And that's something that, that was a big impetus for us.
Oh, hell no, there hasn't. I know there's a couple, but I don't think they're as scary as this shit. No, no freaking way. And I'm going to attribute a lot of that to understanding what works in movies to scare people, because you're scaring people sitting down, you know, just eating popcorn and snacking, and to carry that over into the VR space, which is, now it's you, baby. It's fucking awesome. Yeah. I really can't. I don't give thought that it's early access either. I'm like, to me, it's a freaking game.
But yeah, it feels it. So one more thing I'm dying to know before we let you guys go too, because you know we've been going an hour, it flies by, but we know everybody's time is precious. People are busy, so we usually like to cap it.
We try to be a little respectful.
Yeah, I usually try to cap things around an hour, but I'm dying to know, how big is the team that worked on this as well?
So Dan did a lot of the writing. I was the main programmer. We had two other programmers come in for, small parts of it, because we have a lot of other projects that we're kind of working on. So sometimes, if there's kind of a pause in one project that another developer is working on, they might be able to come over and help me on our main projects. And so we had two other developers kind of come on for, you know, a month each, and kind of help me on various gameplay systems. And then we had three artists that worked pretty much full time on all of the scenery and the props and all that stuff.
So yeah, Nathan did a very good job of breaking that down. But yeah, I mean, ultimately it was really around six people total, with Nathan doing it full time. And then obviously the artists that we had working on it, doing it mostly full time, but also dipping into other projects. So, it, you know, not a huge studio of dozens of people making this. Nathan did most of it. But, you know, we were able to pull in score and other sound from, you know, from the movie and other places. And so that definitely helps. But still, yeah, still a small team making these games.
And how long has it been in development in total? I know it's gone through its couple of versions and stuff, but.
Yeah, so the first version, we spent about 6 or 7 months kind of building the police station, building out some stuff. But then we sort of, like last July, got to a point where we were like, hey, this doesn't work. And so then I think we paused for about 6 weeks. And then from late August until January. So I would say in total about a year and 2 months, off and on. But surprisingly, since kind of starting back up with the new direction, we were able to kind of remake the entire game since last August. So about, what is that, like 5 months?
That's so crazy.
Nathan, unless I'm completely wrong on that, but I feel like
That sounds about how painful it was. Yeah.
Nathan's like, I got some gray hair to prove it. All right. That's fast. That's a really fast timeline.
Yeah.
And to have a good product at the end of it.
So. Well, and like you said earlier too, to not have the ego and stay stuck on a direction to shift. And
we've talked before about that. That's an area in development that sometimes, I mean, it's like that in all business. People get an idea in their head. That's what we're doing. I don't care what the numbers say, but to have, I'll say, maturity, whatever you want to call it, to be like, look, we need to change direction and there's no hard feelings about it. And even though everyone's already worked a boatload of hours putting out what they thought was going to work, if you're not willing to change when you need to change, you're going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm happy you did though, because I'm thus far volunteering to be scared shitless.
Yeah. And again, for any horror fans, for any people that love that feeling, this is a home run. You get to be in the movie.
It's like the ultimate horror house, really.
Yeah.
You could never put a value on if you paid for this.
So great job to you guys with Flock of the Logot. I'm excited to see
it. We got to get them on again, though.
Yeah. At quote unquote full release. Yeah. You know, I know you said it's pretty much where you want to be. It's just more performance stuff, but I'd love a good push at, like I said, full release. Maybe get this baby on the.
I'll keep talking about it.
On the store. I'll keep talking about Atlas Mystery as well, that both of those games deserve to be on there, no doubt. But Before we let you guys go, do you guys want to plug, you know, maybe where listeners can stay up to date with the latest and greatest with top right corner and Flock of the Low God? You know, maybe like Discord or social media, anything like that?
Yeah, so I think SideQuest is obviously great. There is a Twitter for Flock of the Low God that is simply Flock Low God VR. You can put the link maybe in show notes or something else we can give to you. And so I think we'll probably just push out stuff on our Twitter where we'll also show, I guess technically x.com. I will always call it Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know what Twitter is. Never heard of it.
All right. Whatever. X. But yeah, we'll probably add, we do have a Discord as well that will add a lot of elements to. So yeah, we'll keep pushing items. We do want to keep pushing updates, as we get more feedback. And so, even though it's on HalfLab and you have to go through 7 layers of search to find it, don't be dismayed. You will find it. But yeah, that's probably the best way to go.
Awesome. So I'll throw all the links for those in the show notes, the episode description. So if anybody wants to go give them a follow on social media, go join their Discord.
Yeah, I got it. I'm negligent of not jumping into the Discord.
I bet you that'll change after this interview now.
Yeah. And I know someone in our Discord, I think they're buying it today because...
Yeah, I woke up to the message.
And I don't even think their horror is their thing. It's just they've heard of talking about it enough then they're like, all right, I got to try it. But
yeah, so any horror
get ready,
fans,
dude, because
any horror fans, this one's for you. You're gonna get scared. At least I did.
I have another question though. Before we wrap up,
absolutely.
On the movie side of things, you're still going to be putting out horror movies as well.
Yeah, no, I mean Hollywood is in a complete crisis right now in many different ways. But through my other company, Welcome Villain, we're putting out 3 other films this summer that we've acquired to distribute. So we will be putting out other films that way. And, you know, I think in terms of horror, I do think it works. It's a great theatrical medium, like watching a horror movie in a theater. I think it's one of the last elements that people will really still go to theaters for because that communal experience is pretty strong. So I'm very bullish on horror movies in general. And it's the kind of thing too, where, it's still the kind of movie that you can make without big stars and the quality has to be high, but they're really concept and execution based. So that is a medium that I think will still really be able to be made and be distributed. So, very bullish on horror movies. I'm not so bullish on Netflix spending $300 million or apparently Gladiator 2 cost $350 million to make. I don't see how they'll ever make money off of that movie. And so
the 10-year plan,
it'll have to gross more than $1 billion for them to kind of break even. So anyway, but I'm very bullish on making horror movies and making horror games and other experiences that tie in with movies overall.
Well, I'd love to see the studio be the like absolute go-to for horror.
Yeah.
As much as, I mean, Atlas missed totally different genre, vibe, feeling, phenomenal, but I think you've got a magic touch with the horror. And that even sounds bad because I'm not degrading Atlas Mystery at all. It's its own separate thing. But for horror, yeah, the studios, they're going to get the recognition I think you all deserve for it.
Well, if you had one more, I got one more. So what was it about Malum specifically that made you go, you know what, I think this would work good as a VR project?
I think for me early on in production, because we've made a few movies through Welcome Villain, it's the fact that the whole thing takes place at this abandoned police station. And the fact that we had access to that station for so long so we could get great photo reference. And it was really creepy to actually be in there. We actually shot in the station that had not been used in years. And so that was just a really creepy experience to actually be there. But I think because it took place in one location that we could really recreate in specific detail, I think that was something like that was our haunted house, right? That was our haunted house to create. And so I think that's really where the idea of, well, yeah, we could really do this and recreate this in VR came from.
All right, one more, I swear, and then I'll stop because I could just go on forever. I got too many fucking questions. Does anything scare you, Dan? Do you do horror films and it's like you don't even flinch? You flock of low gods all day. It's appetizer. Does anything scare you, like, visually?
I guess it's more of like, this is like a Rorschach test, I guess, but I think more of like David Cronenberg, I guess, like body horror or like psychological sort of people losing their mind, or like, it's almost like more normal things, right? Like, I'm not really scared of, I live in New Orleans. Okay. So I live, the famous Nicolas Cage haunted houses around the corner. Like everything is weird. Like the house next door is sold and it had haunted. You have to put like haunted or not haunted outside when you sell a house. So I'm immersed in this environment. But I think it's more of like realistic things of like, people's like lives falling apart or people losing their minds or like very almost like more normal, relatable things rather than some demon be conjured. I'm just not really affected by stuff like that.
Is that the other things are in your mind 100% impossible, whereas the other things could actually happen to anyone?
Yeah,
I'm more interested in sort of those kind of things. Because everything else, like the supernatural, I do think it is kind of like if you don't believe in it, like you're not really susceptible to it, kind of thing. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. Also, one thing that will scare you more than anything else is when you're playtesting your own game and a bug happens that makes a scare happen when it wasn't supposed to. Because then not only were you not seeing it coming, but you thought it was impossible for it to happen when it happened. I've scared myself to ridiculous degrees by things happening when they weren't supposed to.
That's freaking awesome.
I get scared, like, playing this game, though, because when things come at you in VR, there's parts of your brain that just can't help it. Like, there's parts of this game that still get me. You know, like even though I know every single thing that's coming, just sometimes how, you know, it's like how it's programmed and how it's slightly different than you expected, or you were looking a slightly different way, or the music is slightly different. I'm still freaked out in the game, to be clear, even though we designed it.
Okay.
That's a good testament to the level of immersion in it.
Again, the brain's in charge, yeah. And you got environmental elements, narrative elements, and musical elements, and freaky shit happening, and it's all happening at once. It's, yeah.
So I'm all good.
I'll shut up now.
I have no more one more questions. I feel like a little kid. But one more.
Dude, I got a dozen more.
So we'll let you guys out of here.
We'll save it.
Yeah, 100%.
We'll save it for, you know, when it comes out full release. We'll definitely have to have you back on, or whatever else is next from Top Right Corner. But I don't know. I'm a believer. I'm excited for the future of the game, and hopefully we haven't even heard the end of Atlas Mystery either, because I'll keep petitioning that one as well. So thank you, Dan. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you both for joining us. Again, to the listeners, as always, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, go check out the social media and such for Flock of the Logod. Stay up to date with all that.
Stay out of cults, friends.
Yeah.
Cults are not good.
Especially police killing cults. Those aren't good. So.
Yeah, we can agree on that. Yeah.
Other than that, you know, stay tuned for more next week. Adios.